Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Everyone, welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited to have you join me here tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're going to continue with our hashtag moment for the month of April. This is actually the last week for this particular hashtag, which I am. And for tonight, what we're going to discuss during the hashtag moment is I am victorious. We'll continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our To Believe or Not to Believe segment. We'll go on to Let's Be Real, which is the time in the show where I will make my weekly confession. And then we'll go into our main discussion on tonight. We're talking about finding your identity in God, and I will actually be open and transparent about my own process in finding my identity in God and struggles that I've had in the past with low self-esteem. We'll then end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness, and I'll give you final greetings and look forward to seeing you next week at 7 p.m. So remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that are mentioned during the show, which is I am, Let's Be Real, Wellness and Faith, or anything else that really resonates with you. Just make sure that you tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. You are welcome to call into the show live with questions or comments. You can call the number 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can go to the show website and look at the slideshow, and the number is right there. So I strongly encourage you to join in and join the discussion live, and feel free to share your comments or any questions that you may have concerning anything that is mentioned during the show on tonight. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and we post on social media with that particular hashtag. I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My latest blog, I Am, was published a few weeks ago, so you can go and check that out. And I also did a bonus blog as well titled, What Are You Feeding Your Soul? So go read those. And also all the other wonderful wellness tips that you can find at radiantsunshine.org, and be free to tag me at Weary Consult. So for our discussion tonight, for our hashtag moment, in order to be well spiritually, you must know who you are, and you must be able to say to yourself that I am victorious. So let's talk about the different things that happen in your life and they make you feel defeated. Depending on, you know, what your life has been like and if you've had tons of challenges and lots of obstacles in your way, and in your mind, if you see yourself as failing and meeting some of those obstacles or even most of those obstacles, it can give you this constant feeling of defeat. Or let's say if you're a person where you're very successful, you always do things really well, and now you're in a situation where you are experiencing failure or things are not just happening in a time frame that they are, then you can start to feel defeated. Other things or situations that can cause you to feel defeated are people. You know, sometimes people, you know, will come with bad intentions and they will say things that are not positive. And sometimes people will come and say things with good intentions, but they will say things that will affect you in a way that actually makes you feel defeated. So what is the danger of giving in and believing in? Well, if you're feeling defeated, you're not going to be as motivated to keep pushing through in order to achieve the goals that you want. And let's say if someone is saying something that's, you know, actually really personal about, you know, your self-esteem, or, you know, about something, a project that's really close to you, or about a family member or something like that, it can really wear on your self-image of yourself as well. And just cause you to see yourself in a really negative light, which is not what we want. We want to promote wholeness and also wellness in how you view yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you see yourself as perfect. I mean, if you think that you're absolutely perfect and that you never make a mistake, then there are definitely some interventions that we need to do on your behalf. But, you know, and having a great outlook and having a whole outlook on yourself and a positive outlook on yourself, you want to be able to say to yourself that you are victorious. And your victory is found in Jesus. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, it talks about Jesus having victory over physical death, and so we have that. But the victory that we have in Jesus is not just over physical death. We have victory to be able to conquer and to defeat anything in our lives that is trying to defeat us. And so that is the source of being able to have that positive outlook, having the source of Jesus and knowing that through him you are victorious and knowing that he has already conquered any issue, any person, any personal things that you have going on through your own life, any internal negative images that you may have of yourself. God has already overcame that. Jesus has already won a victory on your behalf for you to be victorious, for you to be whole, for you to not live a life that is full of defeat. And so when we look at even the practical application of living out the declaration of having a victorious life and saying that I am victorious, one simple thing, and this is one thing that I've been saying every week for, you know, the past few weeks that we've been talking about these various declarations of I am, is to, on a daily basis, simply look in the mirror or write something in your calendar or have a reminder set in your phone that will come up every single day to say, I am victorious, or to say whatever the declaration is that you need to remind yourself. Because, you know, the reality of it is that life is going to be challenging. You're going to have situations that you're going to encounter that's going to make you feel defeated. You're going to have people who's going to say things who are not going to always, you know, say them in the most nicest way. You may have people who, even with the good intentions, will say things that really, even though they mean well, it doesn't have the well intentions or have the effect of being well, you know, at the end of the day. But you don't want to live in that moment. It's going to take effort, and it's also going to take you deciding that you're not going to allow the defeat to overcome you and to paralyze you. You don't want to be paralyzed. So in those moments when you feel paralyzed by that defeat, when you feel paralyzed in that moment by the negative things that are happening in your life, you want to be able to counteract that with a declaration of saying, I am victorious. Other things that you can do as far as what practical applications of living out a victorious life is being reminded of the victory by reading your Bible, also by taking the time to pray and spending time with God, you know, on a personal level as well. And then, of course, like with being involved in a faith community and, you know, going to church on a regular basis, also going to Bible studies, being surrounded by people who are also have the same mindset and the same determination to live a victorious life that reflects having spiritual wellness as well. So these are different things that you can do in order to promote having a mindset of victory and not letting the defeat define you. Even in the past, if you have failed, if you have messed up, if you've been defeated, just because it happened in the past doesn't mean that it needs to be your present situation, nor does it mean that that needs to be your future situation as well. You can change the course of your life in this very moment by simply starting with making this declaration, by making a determination to believe that you are victorious and internalizing that belief, and then taking the steps on a daily basis to make sure that that message is reiterated in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, so that you can continue to overcome, so that you can experience the victory that Jesus has already won on your behalf. So that is our hashtag moment for the month of April. If I am, tonight we specifically talked about being victorious. If there's anything that was said that really resonated with you, feel free to post on social media, or if you have any questions, feel free to call into the show live as well. So now with our next segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe, this is a point in the show where I love to give feedback or to get feedback and to have you guys call right into the show. So the number to dial in is 347-850-1154. And on tonight, during this segment, we're going to continue our series. We're talking about the miracles of Jesus that is found in the New Testament. And tonight, we're actually going to be talking about the incident where Jesus actually healed Peter's mother-in-law who was sick. And this account can be found in Mark chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. So let's talk about the players in this particular story where Jesus actually performed a miracle. So you have Peter's mother-in-law who was sick. You have Jesus. And then you also have James, John, Simon, and Andrew who were present during this time as well. So right before this particular miracle takes place, Jesus has already performed another miracle as well. And so here it is that now they're at Peter's place where his mother-in-law is sick, and she is experiencing an illness, and she's not feeling well at all. And so what happened is that Jesus actually comes in, and he goes and he heals her, and he goes and he lays his hands on her, and she is immediately healed. And what's so awesome about this is that after he takes her by the hand and he goes and he lifts her up and she is healed, is that she immediately went into action and started doing the work. She started serving them. She started, doing things in order to make sure that they were taken care of. And just moments before, she was too sick to be even to care by herself, more or less to take care of anything else. And just looking at how we can even look at that example, how that can happen in our own lives, is that whatever you are experiencing, just that one touch from Jesus can completely change, can completely turn your situation around, where you are now able to get up and immediately do things that you never thought you were going to do. And that doesn't have to just be a physical illness. It can be a mental situation, an emotional situation. It can be a spiritual situation. Whatever type of weakness or sickness you may be experiencing, is that all it takes is just one touch from Jesus. And you can immediately be in a new situation. You can immediately be restored. Now, with some situations in our lives, the process of healing, the process of restoration may not happen immediately, where it may be a process over time as you learn to now live in that new place. Possibility for some things to happen immediately, and we see this account, and we see this example rather happening in this account of Peter's mother-in-law being healed. So now, after this is witnessed, the news spreads so quickly about how Jesus just healed Peter's mother-in-law that now the whole town comes in, and they're at the door, and they're just like, okay, well, we need healing as well. And so you have tons of people who were healed from physical illnesses, and Jesus also cast out some people who were possessed with evil spirits as well. And so during this time, now Jesus' fame has become even more popular. He's becoming more popular, rather, and his fame is spreading throughout the town because they're like, everyone is talking about this, like, hey, there is this man who is able to heal you immediately. You need to go see him. If you're sick, if you have a problem, if you're, struggling with something, you need to go to Jesus, and you need to have this experience for yourself. So I personally do believe in miraculous healing taking place. I've experienced that in my own life. I did talk about that on one of the past shows as well, so I won't go into a whole lot of detail about that. But not only have I witnessed the miraculous physical healing of God in my life, I've also seen it manifested in other people's lives as well. So I'm totally a believer when it comes to miracles of healing, whether it's physical healing or mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and knowing that just the power of Jesus is so awesome that it has the victory over anything that exists in this world that tries to keep us down. So now I pose the question to you. What about you? Do you believe or do you not believe? Feel free to post on social media with those particular hashtags to believe or not to believe. And remember to tag me at Weary Consult, and I would love to hear your feedback about that. So now we're going to go into our next segment titled Let's Be Real. So this is the time in the show where I make my weekly confession, where I'm transparent about my mistakes, my shortcomings, any areas I've had to grow in, and also the success that I have experienced and the progress because of the grace and the mercy of God. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is just simply people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I have learned that there is power in silence. And I actually had an incident that occurred within the past week where there was an individual who was just completely being disrespectful towards me for, you know, no fault of my own. And in that moment with having that person, you know, being disrespectful, it was really frustrating where I'm thinking in my head, like, where is this coming from? Why are you, you know, talking to me this way? Why are you even initiating this conversation to be disrespectful? It was no reason for the conversation to even be initiated and for it to go initiated for that purpose, rather, of being just disrespectful. And so as I'm processing through this through my mind, as the, you know, the person is, you know, having this conversation with me, I just felt in my spirit that I just needed to be quiet and just to not say anything at all. So I stood there, allowed the person to be able to say what they needed to say, and then I just went on about my business. Didn't say anything, didn't react, didn't have a physical response, like nothing at all. I just simply went ahead, removed myself from the situation, and then just went on about my day. And what's so awesome is that the situation stopped where then and there. The person, they said what they needed to say. I walked away without saying anything in response at all, without doing anything at all. And my silence then was, it spoke more volumes than me, you know, responding back and trying to question the person or even trying to assert, you know, my own feelings about the situation and how it was happening. And the thing about it is that in the past, I'm going to be honest and be transparent, I'm going to be real, and say that, you know, in positions like that, I would have typically have said something. You know, years ago, you know, I definitely would have responded back and stood up for myself and, you know, told them, like, you're not going to address me in this way and you have no right to even do this and you need to work on your own issues and things of that nature. But doing that will only exacerbate the issue because if you are really honest and objective about it, when someone comes at you in a way that is disrespectful or that is hurtful or that is just really just not positive, and it says it's because of some issue that they're dealing with. Now, this is not to say that this is always the case. Let's say if you did something that was wrong to a person and then they retaliate, although they are responsible for their retaliation, if you did something wrong in that moment right before they came at you, then you're responsible for that as well. And so we have to always be mindful of how we deal with people and how we talk with people, knowing, like, no, we're not going to be perfect and we'll make mistakes, but we should make a conscious effort in dealing with each other with love. You know, the Bible talks about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if you're not loving yourself, you're definitely going to have a problem with loving others as well. So that's why it's so important to take the time to deal with whatever issues you have and make sure you're taking care of yourself, to practice self-care, to practice making sure that spiritually you are well and doing things on a daily basis to be able to constantly experience the wholeness and the healing and the peace of God in your life. And so in this situation, going back to the situation that I was talking about, it just proved why my decision to learn the power of silence was a great decision to make, because in that moment that happened, you know, within the past week, of deciding not to respond and just removing myself from the situation, the incident ended right there. Once the person finished saying what they had to say, it was over and done with. And that was the end of the story. And so here it is with deciding to be silent. It made the chaos. It made the disrespect stop right there in the moment, and I was able to go about, you know, my day and do whatever else that I needed to do. And so I strongly encourage you guys to go ahead and activate the power of silence and not always responding to someone else's issues that is manifesting in the moment. Because even when you look at the example of Jesus, there were definitely times that he was silent as well. When you look at Isaiah 53 and 7, it talks about how Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, but he didn't open his mouth. He didn't say anything. And then even in Luke 23, verses 8 and 9, it also talks about how when Herod was questioning Jesus, he didn't respond. Now, when you look at these two examples, this was not always Jesus' response to various situations. I have to bring this in, you know, this clarification here, because sometimes when you look at how there are discussions about Christians and how we should interact with the world, you know, people will try to say, well, Jesus is love and he never did anything like that. He was, you know, always quiet. He was meek and mild. Yes, Jesus was meek and mild, but he also was very assertive when he needed to be as well. One instance of this is when Jesus was upset when he was in a temple and saw the people who were selling in a temple were doing it in a way where they were taking advantage of the people who needed to purchase things for the sacrifices. And so as a result of the injustice injustice and the sellers taking advantage of the people who were coming to worship, Jesus went in with the whip and flipped over tables. And then even when you look at the account of the woman who was accused of adultery, who was about to be stoned to death, Jesus came and he intervened on her behalf, and he said, let the person who does not have any sin in their lives go ahead and throw the first stone and throw the first rock at her. And what happened is that moment by moment, each and every person that was going to kill this woman because of her offense had to walk away because Jesus brought to light that they had their own offenses in their lives that they needed to deal with as well. So there are definitely times in our lives where we need to stand up not only for ourselves, but even other people who may be experiencing disrespect, who may be being taken advantage of. Like, you know, right now in our country, we have so many things that are going on that is really unfortunate, and it's sad that you have people suffering to the extent they are when it's so unnecessary looking at the resources and the technology that we have within this country. But at the end of the day, the whole point of this Lex Real segment is to recognize that there isn't always a need to say something and to respond verbally or to respond physically or any of that nature, is that there is also power in silence. And the way that you're able to know when to speak and when not to speak, when to act and when not to act, is by having the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It's by listening in to God speaking and letting you know in that moment, is this a moment where I should say something or is this a moment that I should be silent? And sometimes us speaking out about different issues and wanting to say something is really all about pride. It's not always about the fact that we want to stand up for ourselves or stand up for someone else. Ultimately, it's about a position of pride. And being able to practice the power in silence, being able to activate the power of silence in your life, it really takes humility and being able to understand that at the end of the day, God is in control anyway. And being able to understand that this short moment of disrespect or this short moment of humiliation is going to be nothing compared with the wisdom and the maturity that I'm gaining in a situation by activating the power of silence in our lives. So that is our segment for today for Let's Be Real. I hope you enjoyed the segment. If you have any questions or anything that you would like to add into the discussion, you can go ahead and call in live into the show. I would love to hear your feedback and even to post on social media as well. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break to hear our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center, and we will be back in one moment.
Today's wellness moment is, the wellness moment that I have recently started myself is to actually put down my phone. So when I get home, just like most of us, I normally would have had my phone either glued to my hip or right next to me on the couch or the sofa. And really when it comes down to it, it actually didn't give me enough time to free myself from all the expectations or people having access to me. So really one of my tips of wellness moments is recently something that I've been doing for myself, and it has given me back so much time in my day, is to actually put my phone in a different room when I'm trying to do work, when I'm trying to spend time with my family, when I'm just trying to talk to my husband. So that way I can actually have one-on-one time with either the work I'm doing, the time one-on-one time with the person I'm spending time with, or whatever, even if it's just listening to some good music and having the phone in a whole other room. Just because people have more access to you doesn't mean it's a good thing. So make sure that you take the time you need to be away from your phone so that you can have some emotional and even some intellectual health, just in terms of getting back to doing some things like reading and writing. And anyway, before I get going on my old another soapbox, you guys be well.
So welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Wary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that are mentioned throughout the show. If you hear anything that sparks a question or encourages or resonates with you, post about it on social media and be sure to tag me at Wary Consult, and I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. So we're going to go into our main topic and discussion on this evening. For the past 3 weeks, we have been talking about finding your identity through God. And throughout the day, we are constantly bombarded inundated with conflicting images and messages about what and who is the perfect man or woman, and you must be able to counteract these messages with the truth of God's word. And so in light of the discussion these past 3 weeks, I thought that it would be befitting to actually talk about my own journey of finding my identity in God. So this is going to be a very real and transparent moment, you know, that I'm going to have with you all, but I felt that it was definitely necessary in order to show what I've done in defining my identity of God and also recovering from having times where I suffer from low self-esteem. So as a child, as we all know, is that children can be so brutal with not even understanding all the time the effects of what they're saying or what they're doing. And so as a child and even as a teenager, like through elementary school and junior high school, I was teased so much. I was teased because I was really skinny. I was teased because of wearing glasses and my glasses being really thick, like my prescription is pretty strong. I was teased from having a rhyming name and for making good grades. And it was just like, it never stopped. It was just so unfortunate. Like, there were so many times that I just regretted going to school because I didn't want to deal with being teased. But I also enjoyed school because I liked being able to learn and to learn new things. But it was difficult just dealing with the teasing that came with that. And just to let you all know, like, Sherry Weary is my real legal name. It is not a nickname, is not, you know, a name that I go by just to use, you know, in business or things of that nature. Like, Sherry Weary is the name that I was born, given at birth. And just to give you guys a tip, my full name is really rhyme. So my full name is Sherry Cherie Weary. So as a child, you know, I was called Sherry Cherry Weary, Sherry Cherry Weary Berry. I was told that Sherry Weary was going to marry Larry Berry and we would have kids, and, you know, with all these rhyming names, it was so bad. And this continued up through junior high school as well. And then, of course, like with wearing the glasses called four eyes and saying I wear bifocals, and with me being the person that loved to learn and being intelligent even as a young child, when people would tease me and say that I wear bifocals, I would come back at them and say, no, I don't wear bifocals. Bifocals are such and such, you know, these type of glasses, and explain to them what bifocals were. And, of course, then that would bring on even more teasing because then I would be teased for being, you know, like the nerd. So it's just like, you know, didn't get a break, like, at all. And then I was, like, teased for just being really skinny. I was also really tall. And it was just really frustrating. So one of the things that really helped out a lot to be able to counteract the teasing was my involvement in church. And so both my parents are Christians. With my mom, you know, she wanted to make sure that we both, me and my brother, we grew up with a strong foundation of faith. So we were involved in everything as a kid. You know, we were involved in Sunshine Band. We went to youth church. We went on all the youth trips. We were involved in plays, doing Easter speeches, doing Christmas speeches. I mean, whatever the church had going on, we were there. If there was a revival, you know, we were there. If there was a concert, we were there. If it was choir rehearsal, we were always there. And just, you know, really that was like my whole life, but I loved it. I really enjoyed being in church and being involved in everything. And being able to be part of the youth group, it really allowed my confidence to still grow, even though I was experiencing the things I was experiencing in school with being teased and having my confidence really shot down. And so being able to be involved in those activities and excelling and doing well, like, within the different activities that we did in church, within our children's and youth group, it really helped to combat that and allow me to still flourish and to get the self-confidence that I needed. And so with going through all this in elementary and junior high school, right before going to high school, entering high school, rather, I remember having this moment where I was sitting down in my room and I'm thinking, you know what, like, I'm really tired of being teased. I'm really tired of, like, not, you know, being confident in who I am and just not feeling good about myself and just struggling with low self-esteem. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to make the decision to embrace who I am, and I'm going to be proud to be me. I'm going to be proud to be the nerd. I'm going to be proud to be the one with the glasses. I'm going to be proud to have a rhyming name. I'm going to be proud of who I am, and if someone else has a problem with it, then that's just their issue. And so entering into ninth grade, I just had this super amount of confidence, and I stopped getting teased. It's just like, you know, when I would walk up to people, I would tell them my name, I would make a joke, and I still even do that to this day as well when I meet people for the first time. You know, I go ahead and make a joke out of my name, and, you know, it's a great way to get a memorable introduction with someone. But, you know, we're going back to high school, and just having that decision, making that decision that I was not going to suffer from this anymore. I was not going to constantly let others determine how I looked at myself. And so, you know, from that moment, going through high school, going through college, and now my adult life, is that I was determined to not suffer from low self-esteem to the extent that I did in junior high school and also in elementary school. And I can tell you that even from making that decision, it hasn't been an easy journey. It's definitely a lot easier now than it was when I first made that decision because, of course, if you have years and years of someone telling you all these negative things, then it's going to be a process to be able to start seeing yourself in that positive light. And even as an adult, I still encountered situations where people have tried to make me into who they want me to be. You know, you don't have people who don't always embrace the uniqueness of who you are. And so I've had people come and they said some things to me, even as an adult. And these other adults as well, that have not been very kind and that have been very hurtful. But what I have chosen to do in those moments is that, you know, even the times that it truly did hurt, is that I would come back home, I would pray, I would have a reflection and take that time and just and be determined to say that I'm not going to go back to where I used to be, even though it hurts that this person is not valuing the uniqueness of who I am and they're trying to make me into this carbon copy of them or someone else, is that I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm not going to allow someone else to determine the value who I am. I'm not going to allow someone else to be able to question the purpose and the mind of God, because God created me to be exactly who I am. God knew the purpose that he had in my life, and God knew that in order to fill the purpose in my life, I needed to be the unique individual that I am. I needed to be Sherry Cherie Weary, and not anyone else that someone else tried to make me to be. And it's a process, you know, and just with being able to not retaliate and to say something back to someone in that moment when they hurt you to try to make them feel the same hurt that you're experiencing, that also takes a lot of maturity as well. And so that's something that I'm committed to, because I want everyone to embrace who they are and to be proud of who they are. And so in that moment, even when I'm being talked about or mocked or being teased, is that I choose not to retaliate because I know what it's like to be on the other end, and I'm just not going to do that to anyone else. And so with this process of now being confident in who I am, I can tell you that it's such a so much more fulfilling life to live. You know, when you find your identity in God and you're confident in what he has called you to be, you have peace. And I can tell you the peace that I have from now accepting God's will for my life and accepting the purpose that he has in my life is really being amazing, being able to believe that God loves me and to really appreciate that has totally changed my outlook on life, to be able to appreciate the grace and the mercy that God offers me, to be able to know that I can cry out to him and call him Abba, Father, to know that he sees me as his friend, to know that I am victorious because of the victory that he already secured for me thousands of years ago when he went to the cross. It is such a freeing moment to find my identity in something that is so stable, because the truth of God, the truth of his word, the truth of the purpose that he had in mind for me before the very foundations of this world, it doesn't change. See, people's opinion of me, they've changed over years. The same people that teased me when I was in junior high school, now I'm friends with in Facebook, and actually I'll tell you a little bit about that now. So there was one young man that I went to junior high school with, and he was one of the kids that was so brutal about teasing me in junior high school. And about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, he reached out to me on Facebook and sent me a friend request. So in the moment that I saw the friend request, to be completely honest, I almost denied it, because I'm thinking, like, seriously, like, dude, like, we've been out of junior high school for how many years? So now you're going to send me a request on Facebook because, what, you want to do, like, the same thing? Like, it's not going down. Like, I don't have time for that in my life. And so I almost deleted his request. But something, you know, in our spirit says, sure, you accept the request. And so I went ahead and accepted the request, and he, you know, commented on a couple of pictures. And then a few days afterwards, I accepted his friend request. He had sent, I saw him put something up on Facebook about publishing a book. And so, you know, at that moment, I was just, you know, starting my own journey with self-publishing my novel, which I'll tell you guys more about at the end of the show. And so I had information that I could offer him. And so I'm reading the post, and I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and just send him a message and let him know. And so I sent the message, and we end up having a discussion, like, back and forth, actually for a couple of days, just back and forth over Facebook. And it was such an amazing conversation. And in those conversations, I was able to see that he is not the same person that he was in junior high school. And so we actually end up having a discussion about our interaction in junior high school as well. And he was so awesome, and he apologized for the things he said and said, you know, hey, you know, we're kids back then. I really didn't mean any of those things to try to be mean. I'm sorry that it had that effect on you, but I'm not that person. And I was able to really see that. And it was such an amazing experience because here it is, like, I just kept thinking back to junior high school in that moment when I was teased by him and other students that were in my class. You could have never convinced me in those moments when he and the other students were teasing me that now years later we would reconnect on Facebook and be exchanging information and having a great dialogue and discussion about life and about, you know, different viewpoints on various situations and now helping each other as well, because he's also a creative writer. And so it was such an amazing experience. And I know that everyone doesn't get the opportunity to have that experience where people will come back and they will apologize for the hurtful things that that they've done. But when it does happen, it's such an amazing feeling. But the one thing that I want to say, too, is that there are tons of people in my life that used to tease me as a kid, as a teenager, or even as an adult, where they have never come back to apologize for the wrong they have done. They are not sorry for it. They're not remorseful. And then there's those people where, you know, that they're remorseful for what they've done, but the ego and the pride will, will allow them to come and apologize. Either way, I decided to still move forward and be confident in who God created me to be, because my identity, my confidence, my self-esteem is not going to be locked up based upon an apology or based upon the hurt or the immaturity that someone else has. Because the reality of it is that when someone is coming at you, when they're, you know, disrespecting you, when they're saying hurtful things, they're only speaking out of their own hurt and issues that they're dealing with, and that they're not able to get their own help that they need. So now to take the focus off of them, they're coming at you. And at the end of the day, if you have that position of grace with understanding that everyone is going through a struggle, is that it allows you the freedom to not be bound by bitterness and unforgiveness. Because I can tell you, having that bitterness towards the individuals who had hurt me, who had done things that just were not kind, it really made me miserable. And I was tired of being miserable. I was tired of being caught up in someone else's issue. I was tired of being caught up in someone else's misconception of who I was. So I decided to let go of all of that and to find my identity in Jesus Christ, to decide to stand and build my confidence, to build my identity, to build who I am and my pride in who God created me to be on the foundation of his word and on the foundation of who he is. Because the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So my confidence being found in him and being built on his word is never going to change. His truth is always going to be there, and that is something that I find so much joy and so more peace in. So I hope, you know, something I said, you know, definitely encourage you all. If you are a person that you have dealt with the same issues, I strongly encourage you just to seek the wholeness and the peace of God and the healing of God and to build your confidence on Jesus Christ, because that is what's going to enable you and strengthen you to move past all those things that have happened in your life. So now we're going to go into our dose of spiritual wellness, and this is the point of the show where we recap the show and we give lessons or doses of spiritual wellness that we can have based upon information that we talked about in the show. So the dose of spiritual wellness for this week is based upon my own testimony that I just shared with you all regarding my own process of suffering from low self-esteem, but now finding my confidence, my identity in God, and not being bound by that anymore. So first and foremost, you want to remember that God doesn't make mistakes. Despite the circumstances of your birth, if your birth was planned, if it was unplanned, or what have occurred in your life as a child or a teenager or even as an adult, you are not a mistake. God purposed for you to exist. God purposed for you to be here on this earth because there was something about you that he needed to, in order to fulfill the will that he has for creation, and also for you to be a blessing to others as well. You are viable. You are worth something, and you are not a mistake. You are here on purpose, for purpose. So you want to always remember that despite what other people may say to you or have said to you in the past, you are not a mistake. Number two, you don't want to allow others to determine your self-worth. You want to make sure that your self-worth is determined by someone, something, and someone that is stable, that doesn't change, and that is dependable. And the only thing in this world, the only person in this world that has all of those qualities 100% of the time is God and His Word. His Word, even the Bible talks about how His Word doesn't come back void, but it accomplishes everything that He sends it to do. And so when God spoke you into existence, He spoke you into existence knowing that the purpose that He has on your life is meant to be fulfilled, and that it wasn't something that someone else can determine or even take away. So when God speaks something, even when you look at Genesis, when with creation, that God spoke everything into existence. The only thing He actually put His hands on was when He created men and women. But, you know, even with going to, you know, have your self-worth, if you're going to determine your self-worth, do it based upon God. Don't allow other people's insecurities. Don't allow other people's issues. Don't allow other people's hurt. Don't allow other people's insufficiencies to determine your self-worth, because you're going to come up short every time. Base it upon God and God alone. Number three, you want to embrace and love what makes you unique. I can tell you that I have totally embraced my name. Like in the high school, going into high school, and so that was a very pivotal moment in my life where I embraced being skinny, wearing the glasses, having a rhyming name, and I have so much fun with my name now. Like from going to the doctor's office to, you know, meeting new friends to, you know, even applying for jobs. It's always an adventure when I first introduce myself, because no one ever says, or believes rather, that when I say my name is Sherry Weary, that is really my name. They think that I'm joking. And now being an entrepreneur and also being a published author, my name is such a huge benefit. It's very hard for people to not remember who I am. And, of course, with seeing my name, it gives me an opportunity to be able to say more and to engage in conversations that if I had a name that didn't rhyme, I wouldn't be able to have. So whatever it is about you that makes you unique and makes you stand out, you want to embrace it and you want to love it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to make yourself be someone else. Don't try to fit into a box that you weren't created for. You weren't created for a box. So embrace and love what makes you unique and what makes you set apart and different from everyone else. Lastly, you don't want to fight the process. So with going even looking back over my life and looking at all the things that I experienced, I can now see how all of those experiences truly did work out for my good, and it made me better. And it also made me so much more compassionate as well. And just knowing the different things that God has called me to do and the things that I'm actually doing right now, it requires compassion. And so with being in a position where I was teased, where I was mocked, it's given me a position of compassion that I may not have had if I, you know, wasn't teased and mocked as a child. Now, I'm not encouraging being mocked. I'm not encouraging bullying or anything of that nature. It's definitely not a road I'm promoting. What I am promoting is Romans 8:28, which is my favorite scripture, that says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And so whatever the process is that you are going through your life, allow God's perfect will to take all the hurt, all the joy, all the mistakes, all the successes, all the negative things people said, all the positive things they said, to bring it all together for His purpose, for it to still work for your good, for it to still strengthen you, for it to make you better, and put you in a position to help someone else along the way who has or who is going through what you have already gone through. You know, so it's different when you can help someone, you know, because you've already been there. You can say, hey, this is what I did to get through this situation, and so if I can do it, you can do it too. So that is our show for this evening. I enjoy spending this time with each and every one of you. I look forward to speaking with you the same time next Monday night at 7 p.m. You want to log on to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness, and you will be immediately connected to the show. Remember that you can connect with me online on social media with the various hashtags I am, Wellness and Faith, To Believe or Not to Believe, I Am Victorious, or anything else that you heard throughout the show, just remember to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's sherryweary.com. Also, be sure to check out the blog for RS Counseling Wellness Center at radiantsunshine.org. You'll find tons of helpful wellness tips as well as the blogs that I do once a month as well. My latest blog, or two blogs, Where Are You Feeding Your Soul and I Am, were published. I'll also have a new blog coming out within the next week, so you'll want to look out for that. At RadiantSunshine.org, you will also find information about this awesome, amazing new women's enrichment community that will be starting up in the next few weeks. If you are a woman and you are looking for a community that will support, that will empower you, and that will enrich your life to achieve all the goals that you want to achieve, you want to go ahead and sign up for this. There's currently a discount available through April 30th, but it ends in 5 days, so you want to make sure that you sign up today. Also, be sure to tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the lunch date, a social wellness break. This is a radio show with Sharia Farmer where she gives out tips on having healthy relationships. And lastly, my first novel, Walking Through the Pain, was officially released this past Saturday, which was also my birthday. So needless to say, this weekend has been completely amazing. I'm so excited that my book is available for you to purchase. You can purchase the print and ebook version, of my book on my website at sherryweary.com. So that is all that I have until we meet again. And as always, my prayer for you is that you will be well, you will be whole, and you will be set free.